Motion that we read, Acts chapter 13. So far in our studies in this chapter, we have considered Paul's missionary journey, and we have looked at two aspects of the missionary: the call of the missionary and the work of the missionary. Today I want you to consider a third aspect, a very important aspect indeed, that of the message of the missionary. As we saw last week, the missionary's job is to spread the message of the gospel. That is the aim and the object of missionary work. And in Acts chapter 13, verses 14 to 41, we have a clear insight into the message that Paul and Barnabas declared as they sought to win souls for Christ. You see, the aim of the missionary is to deliver God's message to the lost. And I want you to notice a number of things here about the message that Paul and Barnabas preached on their first missionary journey. And I pray that as we come to consider this message today, that the Lord will bless it to each and every one of our hearts. Child of God, you and I have a great responsibility. Although it's the missionary's responsibility to bring the message of the gospel to the lost, it is also the responsibility, I believe, of every Christian to seek to bring God's word to those who are lost in sin. And I pray, therefore, that the Lord will come and give us a vision again for men and women who are lost in their sins. And I pray also, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, not born again of the Spirit of God, that even today as God's word goes forth and we consider again the message of the gospel, that the Lord will write his word upon your heart and even this Lord's day bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we learn here about the message of the missionary? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that the message that Paul and Barnabas delivered was based on the Word of God. In other words, it was a scriptural message that they preached. From verse 16 to verse 23 of this chapter, we have a part of the sermon that Paul preached on his first missionary journey. Now, I'm not going to read all those verses out again, but here in this sermon, we can see Paul teaching facts from the Old Testament scriptures. From verses 16 to 23, Paul rehearses in the ears of the people the history of the children of Israel. And of course, that is a history that is plainly set forth in the Old Testament scriptures. Therefore, Paul's message was based upon the Word of God. And of course, the missionary's message must be scripturally based. If we're ever going to win souls for Christ, if we're ever going to see lives changed in our communities, if the missionary especially is going to see the heathen reached with the gospel, that gospel, that message that they declare must be scripturally based. The missionary's message is scripturally based for a number of reasons. First of all, because it is the Word of God. And of course, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the precious, inerrant, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And of course, if you know and are familiar with that text of Scripture, you will know that the word inspired there means God-breathed. You see, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is God-breathed. In other words, it is the inspired word of the living God. And this God-breathed word is where the missionary gets their message from. Indeed, the Bible and the Bible alone is our message to a world that is lost in sin. Notice also that the missionary's message must be scripturally based, not only because it's God's word, but because it is the only word that will do poor sinners good. In Psalm 119, verse 130, the psalmist said this: "The entrance of God's word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." And then in Proverbs 6, verse 23, it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light." It is only when the message of the Bible is declared to a world lost in sin that lives can and will be changed. That is why Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 to young Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. Because Paul recognized that it was only through the foolishness of preaching the word of God that sinners would be saved. And of course, that's the reason why Sabbath by Sabbath in this house, we open up the Word of God. We seek to teach what the Bible declares, because the Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible, the message contained in the Bible, it is the only message that will do poor sinners good. It's the only message whereby men and women will be changed and transformed by the power of God. Notice also that the missionary's message must be scripturally based, because it is an eternal word. God's word is eternal. It's everlasting. In 1 Peter 1 verse 24 and 25 it says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, the word of God is everlasting because God's word, as the Bible tells us, is forever settled in heaven. Jesus said on one occasion, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain forever. Therefore, can you see the importance of the scriptures? Can you see the importance of Bible truth? The missionary's message must always be based upon the scriptures of truth. And of course, that's why, as I have emphasized, every time we come into God's house, the Bible is opened in this church, the Bible is read, the Bible is expounded, the Word of God is taught, and we must never put anything else in the place of the Bible, in place of the scriptures of truth. Because it's only when the word of God is preached and declared that God will work in the hearts of men and women and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13. They've been called of God. They've been sent forth by the church. And as they have gone forth, they have preached the message of the gospel, and that message has been based upon the word of God. They went forth with the word of God. Child of God, I pray in these days that you and I will go forth with the word of God. Now, we may not all be called to the foreign mission field. We may not all be called even into full-time service. But if we're ever going to see men and women saved by the grace of God and their lives changed by the power of God, then it is imperative that we seek to present the Bible to them, what the Bible teaches, what the scriptures declare. Because remember this, that the Bible and the Bible alone is our only rule of faith and practice. And it's through the foolishness of preaching that souls are saved. But notice something else here. Notice, secondly, that the message that Paul and Barnabas delivered was centered on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder, did you notice that as we read down these verses in Acts chapter 13? Now, again, we're not going to take the time to read all these verses, but from verse 22 to verse 37, Paul's message uplifted the Christ of God. Now let me just break it down for you very quickly. From verses 22 and 24, Paul speaks of the promised Messiah and declares that that promised Messiah is Christ. And then in verse 25, Paul speaks of the preeminence of Christ. Then from verse 27 to 29, Paul speaks of the death of Christ upon the cross. And then from verses 30 to 37, Paul speaks of the resurrection of Christ. Now again, you take the time to read those verses again when you go home, And you will see that as Paul went forth, Barnabas went forth, seeking to win the lost for Christ on this first missionary journey, not only was the message scripturally based, Bible based, but it was centered upon the work and upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was Paul's message wherever he went. In all Paul's missionary journeys, and of course he went on at least three missionary journeys, the essence of his message was the person and work of Jesus Christ. Indeed, from the beginning of Paul's ministry to the end of his ministry, and you can study his ministry throughout the book of Acts, you will learn this wonderful truth that Paul sought at all times to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 9, verse 20, we read these words concerning Paul when he first got saved. It says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." And in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, Paul said, For I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Therefore, Paul in his message always sought to draw his hearers' attention to the Christ of God. He always sought to center their thoughts on God's promised Messiah. Why? Why was that his central theme? Why did he always seek to point men to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the central theme of the Bible from beginning to end is Christ and his redemptive work. In the Old Testament, we have Christ presented to us through shadows and types and direct prophecies. Then in the New Testament, we have those Old Testament prophecies fulfilled when the Savior came from heaven to earth to die and rise again to redeem a people unto himself. And men and women, that is the same message that we have to declare today. We're considering missionaries that went forth over 2,000 years ago, but missionaries that go forth today to Africa, to Brazil, to China, to wherever. The message is still the same. It's Bible-based. It's scripturally based. But the central theme of that message is Christ and him crucified. And it is the same today as we meet in God's house this afternoon. My friend, if you're ever going to be saved and go to heaven, then you must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. He's the one, and he is the only one that can save you and I from our sins. Jesus said on one occasion, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And the Lord Jesus said on another occasion, that very familiar text in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Of that there is no doubt. And here is the message, and the only message that will do poor sinners good. The message that Jesus has died and that he has risen again. The truth is that only Christ can save your soul and my soul from hell and from judgment to come. Oh, I wonder, as we're gathered in God's house today, can you look back to a day in your life when you came and trusted the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer? My friend, we're not here today to present a church to you, or to present a religion to you, or present a list of do's and don'ts to you. No, we're here today to tell you of one who loves you, who died upon a cross to save you, who rose again in order to justify you. And his name is Jesus of Nazareth, the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. And what a wonderful message it is. And you know, as Paul and Barnabas went on that first missionary journey, And as they preached this wonderful message, the wonderful thing is this, and we're going to see this as we continue these studies, that there were many who came and believed on the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Before Paul and Barnabas went on that missionary journey, many of these people had never heard the gospel. They had never heard about Christ's death and resurrection. They had never heard the good news that Jesus saves. Is it possible that there's someone here today and you've never heard the good news that Jesus loves you, that he died to save you, and that he's willing to give you everlasting life and to bring you to heaven? Oh, my friend, all you have to do is trust him. Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. But notice something else here about this message. Not only was it scripturally based, Bible based, not only did this message emphasize and center upon the person and work of Jesus Christ, but I want you to notice, thirdly, that the message that Paul and Barnabas delivered was soundly applied to the consciences of men. Now, I'm going to take the time to read these verses because it's very important that you see this. Look with me there at verse 26. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they're preaching this message, and it's Bible-based, it's scripturally based, and they're emphasizing that the only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then they come to apply it. They come to apply it to the consciences of those who are listening. Look at verse 26. Paul says, "Men and brethren," in other words, "listen to me, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." Underline those words. To you is the word of this salvation sent. He wants them to realize and recognize that this message is for them. Oh, my friend, the message today that we're preaching, it's for you. It's for you. And it's for me. Maybe there's someone here and you think, well, preacher, you're preaching to someone else. The message of Christ and faith in Jesus Christ is for someone else. No, it's not. It's for you. It's for you. And take a look there at verse 38. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." As Paul sought to apply the message of the gospel to the hearts of his hearers, did you notice that he did two things contained in these verses? First of all, he exhorted them to repentance and faith in Christ. That's what we have in verses 38 and 39. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Let me ask you this question today. Have you ever believed by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as your Savior? Have you ever repented of your sin and cried unto God for mercy and asked him to forgive you for your sins? You see, it was a personal message. It was a message that was applied. My friend, the truth is that the missionary or the preacher, the minister, is failing in his duty if he does not, after preaching the word, apply the word. Apply the word. Now, this message today is for you and for me. And I want you to see that, because that is encouraging. That is encouraging. God wants to save us all and bring us all to heaven. But the truth is, Only those who repent of their sin and by faith trust Jesus Christ as their Savior will get into heaven. Will get into heaven. The message is Jesus died and rose again. That's the gospel. But you must accept that. You must believe that. You must come and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. You remember what the Philippian jailer said? He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do?" And Paul says, "Well, I'll tell you what you have to do. Believe." That's faith. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." My friend, that's what you must do today if you're ever going to get into heaven. That's what I must do if I'm ever going to get into heaven. That's what you must do if you're ever going to escape the flames of a lost eternity. You must come and accept Christ as your Redeemer. But notice something else here. Not only did he exhort them to repentance and faith, but he warned them of the great sin of unbelief. And that's what we have there in verses 40 and 41. As he applies this message to the consciences of those who are listening, he says this to them: "Beware. Beware." Now that's a warning. "Beware, therefore, lest that come unto you which is spoken of in the prophets, behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." In other words, Paul here was reminding them of what many of their forefathers had done. They had rejected the message. They had despised the message. They had said no to the message. My friend, the truth is that you today will respond in one of two ways. You will either respond positively to this message and believe on Christ and repent of your sin and accept the Savior as your own and personal Savior, or you will reject. But there's a warning, and the warning is this: for all those who reject the message, there will be judgment. There will be judgment for those who despise the message. But you can see here how Paul is applying God's word. And of course, that's the problem. Many today are willing to listen to the message, but they don't want it applied to their own heart or to their own circumstances. But my friend, what use is the message if it's not applied? My prayer is today that God, the Holy Spirit, would take the word of God and burn it within your heart and within your soul and within your mind. Because until you see yourself as the sinner before God needing a Savior, then your life will never be changed, and your soul will most definitely never be saved. I can remember talking to a man a number of years ago and about the gospel, and I was trying my best to explain to him how the Lord Jesus was the Son of God and how he died upon the cross and how he rose again. And he said to me, "Well, I suppose you think I'm a sinner." That's a very pointed question. "I suppose you think I'm a sinner." Well, my friend, the truth was this: that he was a sinner. Now, not because I said he was a sinner, but because God said he was a sinner. And I said to that man, "The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, he was willing, and he didn't want the gospel. He didn't want that personal application to his own heart. But my friend, what use is the gospel if it's not personally applied? And as Paul and Barnabas went on their missionary journey, and as they sought to emphasize this scriptural message and exalt the person and work of Jesus Christ, they always applied it to the people that were listening to them, because they recognized, Paul and Barnabas recognized, that if men were ever going to be changed, they needed to see their great need before God. You see, man needs to see his own sin. Man needs to see his own need of Christ as Savior, and man needs to see that he must come personally by faith and trust the Lord Jesus as his own and personal Redeemer. It's not enough just to hear the word. It's not enough just to hear the preacher, to hear the missionary, to hear the message. But we must receive it. We must receive Christ as our Savior. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Turn over with me just for a moment. We're nearly finished. Acts chapter 26. Now, obviously, we'll be coming to this chapter in the course of these studies, but not for a wee time yet. But I want you to see here Paul, and he's bringing the message of the gospel to King Agrippa. But I want you to see how he applied it to Agrippa. Look at verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Now, after he preached the gospel, look what he says in verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Underline those words. Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, what does that teach me? What does it teach you? It teaches us this, that as Paul preached the message of the gospel, he made it very personal. He made it personal. My friend, I want to make the gospel personal today. To your heart. To your soul. My prayer is that I might persuade you to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me, Paul. Now, unfortunately for Agrippa, he was not persuaded. Look what he says there in verse 29. Look what Paul said. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Agrippa was not altogether persuaded because he never did get saved and he never did become a Christian. But Paul sought to persuade him. My friend, I would seek to persuade you today. You need to get ready for heaven. You need to get right with God. If you're not saved in this meeting, if you're not a born-again Christian, then you need to come and put your faith alone in Jesus Christ. I would say to you, like Paul said to Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Believest thou that this is God's word? Believest thou that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the only Savior? Believest thou? Oh, my friend, you need to believe. You need to bow the knee in repentance and faith. You need to come. Trust Jesus as your Savior. This was the message that Paul and Barnabas brought in their missionary journey. It's the only message that we have to present to men and women today. A message that's scripturally based. A message that's centered upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. And a message that must be applied to the consciences of men. Would you come to Christ today? Would you trust him? Would you believe on him? And he'll save you. You know, there's no greater joy than to know sins forgiven. And to know that you have a home in heaven. And you know, friend, the truth is this, that none of us deserve God's salvation and God's mercy. I don't deserve it today. And you don't deserve it. We don't deserve the love of God and the grace of God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heaven is available to you today through faith in Jesus Christ. Would you come and accept that gift, the gift of God, which is eternal life through his Son? And he will give you peace in your heart, joy in your soul, assurance that you're going to glory. Praise God, your sins, which are many, will be all forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy word. We thank thee for the message of the missionary. We thank thee, Lord, that is the message of the Bible. We thank thee, Lord, that it's a message that uplifts our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank thee that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We thank thee for our blessed Redeemer, the one who died upon a cross to save men from their sins. Oh God, I pray today, I pray in Jesus' precious name, Lord, that those of us who are saved, that we will go forth with this message and present it to a world that's lost. And, oh God, those that are not saved, that even today they would come and trust thee. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. 204 is our closing hymn.